Ephesians 1, and a great scripture reading this morning, and we could have went on and read more as you read through this great passage of Ephesians chapter 1. There is so much there, but we're only going to deal with basically one verse this morning, and that is verse 3. It's already been read to you. But again, it reads, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ." And God's people said, amen. What a great truth. Are you thankful that you're a believer? Just think of all the options out there. Just think of all the different religions that are out there. And God, our Heavenly Father, invited you to know Him personally through Jesus Christ. That is overwhelming in my mind. That's more than I can honestly comprehend. That God would care enough for me to draw me to Himself. I'll share briefly my testimony, but before I do that, let's pray. Thank you, Father. Again, we ask that you bless this service. Use your word. Help our thoughts to be your thoughts, not our own. Lord, help us to be yielded to the Spirit of God to say the words that are needed. I pray that you will minister to each heart here this morning according to what you know is a need. We pray that you'll bless where blessing is needed, encouragement where encouraging is needed, conviction where conviction may be needed. We thank you that you're willing and able to minister to us according to every need that we have. And so we thank you for that and are grateful that you love us as you do. In Jesus' name, amen. Very briefly, as I was raised in a non-Christian home, raised in a home that had a lot of disturbance with it. My dad was old enough to be my grandfather. It was a second marriage for him, and it was the only marriage for my mom. But she had come out of a very difficult background as well. I had been abused by her father. And my dad was not particularly a loving, faithful husband to her. And so that was kind of the home environment. There was five of us full brothers, and then I had two half-brothers. My mother had a son, and my dad, from his first marriage, had a son. And they both lived with us when I was younger. And so as I grew up, disturbed, if you would, and unsettled and insecure. When I was 4 years old, anybody here 4 years old? Anybody 4 years old? Don't see any hands. Okay. When I was 4 years old, the local church, actually where this video took place, that is my home church, First Baptist Church in Milltown, Wisconsin. Back in the late 40s and early 50s, they sent a Sunday school bus out to pick up kids whose parents said that they could go to Sunday school. Now, I don't know why, except for God's grace. My parents said it was okay for us kids to go to Sunday school. Folks, there was no prayer in that home. The name of Jesus was mentioned quite frequently, as was the name of God, but not in honor, not in recognition. In profanity and in anger and all the rest. But maybe because my parents knew who was behind bringing the Sunday school bus out, they said it was okay. And so from the age of 4 until the age of 16, I rode the Sunday school bus to Sunday school pretty faithfully every week and went to Sunday school. And that's all we did. Bus picked us up, went into Sunday school. When Sunday school was over, they took us home again. And I often say we weren't bad kids, but children's church and junior church and all that apparently was not really in existence back then, so they didn't have it. But God used Sunday school. God used the faithfulness of those Sunday school teachers. And let me encourage you folks this morning, as we had a preview of your youth ministry over the summer and the children who sang. I'm grateful for my Sunday school teachers. They faithfully taught me. Now, I was a sleeper. I don't know if it was just because I wasn't very disciplined or being raised on the family farm. We would be up in the morning. I don't remember exactly what time it was, but at least by 6 o'clock we were up, even as kids, to help with the chores. We helped with the chores, and so we did that. And so I don't know if it was just too early in the morning to get started, but I kind of think that even while I was in Sunday school, I probably napped some of the time. So that just adds to the scenario, if you would. But God used that. And I remember so distinctly as a 15-year-old, a teenager, that a man came out to the farm and asked my parents if it'd be okay if he could invite some of us boys to a special service they were having there at First Baptist Church at Milltown. And my parents said okay. Evening services were later back then. Normally, evening service didn't start until 8 o'clock because of the number of farm families involved. And so we went, and I remember so distinctly God taking those years of just Sunday school. I don't ever remember going to morning service. No evening service, no Wednesday night, not even youth activities. Just Sunday school. And God taking those teachings that I received and using that and coming under the conviction that I needed to be saved. Now, in all honesty, I was a good kid. Back then, if you weren't, it just wasn't worthy not to be. Parents disciplined back then. And my parents were not exceptions. And they expected their kids to behave wherever they were. And the cliche is true. If you got in trouble someplace, you were more trouble when you got home. And I can vouch for that. And that's how it was. So I'm sure I was a good kid. But it didn't matter. I was a sinner. I needed to be saved. And I'm so thankful for that, because I remember coming under that conviction. Gary, you need to get saved. You need to ask Jesus Christ into your life. I didn't understand the Bible. Honestly, I think if you were to ask me some of the most simple questions of the Word of God, I probably could not have answered them. But the Spirit of God ministered nonetheless. I did not make the decision right there, but I went home and I knelt beside my bed and asked Christ to come into my life, be my Savior. That is 60 plus years ago, and it was like it happened last night. Let me ask you. You don't need to be like me. I don't expect you to answer like me, but has there been that time in your life when you asked Christ into your life? Not that you turn over a new leaf. Not that you decided you were going to obey better, but that you knew you needed Jesus Christ in your life. And I'm so thankful for that. Now let me just say, I struggled because there was no encouragement at home. And shortly after that, I quit going to Sunday school because then my parents started to go to church. So it was just morning church, but in all of it. And so how did I end up in the ministry? I attended River Falls State University up there at River Falls, Wisconsin, coming from the farm. I was interested in the agricultural area, and I decided to go into agriculture teaching, ag teaching as they called it. And River Falls was our primary school for that, so I enrolled there. And at the end of my sophomore year, I became involved in a group called the Student Baptist Fellowship that was operated out of First Baptist Church there of River Falls. And after wandering from the Lord for several years, he began to draw me back to him. I became involved, like I said, the end of my junior year, sophomore year, and the beginning of my junior year, I became more involved. And God used a study in the book of 1 Timothy as I came back for my third year of college, and as we were doing this Bible study, God used this verse to call me into the ministry. And it's 1 Timothy 1:12. And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for he counted me faithful, put me into ministry. And that was a shock. I was not pastoral material. There's just a lot of things I will not go into detail. But God called me. So I finished my bachelor's degree there at River Falls and then went on to seminary and got my master's degree in theology. But we come back here now to Ephesians 1:3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. I'm so thankful for that. Real quickly here this morning, we see here our spiritual wealth in Christ. And not only that, but the other verses that were read. And then I continued to reading on my own after the pastor had finished with verse 6. And we read in verse 7, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded towards us in all wisdom and prudence. And it goes on and it goes on. What a wealth of blessing and spiritual benefits that we have here in Christ. And so we see our spiritual wealth is in Christ in these verses. And we find that the source of the spiritual blessing is God the Father. Blessed be the God and Father. Are you a loving, you men that are here, it's not Father's Day, but you men that are here, you're a loving dad. Hey, let me ask you a more serious question. Are you a loving husband? My dad was not a loving dad. I don't ever remember my dad putting his arms around me and saying, Gary, I love you. I don't remember that from my mom. Didn't matter. That's how we were raised. It really did not matter. If my dad put his arm around me and said, I love you, Gary, it didn't really matter if my mom did that. However, I had to learn to love. And I thank my wife for 54 years of faithfulness to a man who had to learn to love. Amen. It took me a long time. It took me years before I could say to my mother, I love you. I remember the struggle I had with that. And I said, why? Why am I having that struggle? Mom, I love you. But it took me years before I was able to do that. I could do it easier to my wife. I could do it easier to my children. I can do it to my grandchildren and great-grandchildren. But for some reason, it wasn't really available. And I don't ever remember telling my dad I love him. And so as I read this, and I think of this, I'm so glad I have a Father in heaven who loves me. A Heavenly Father who has given his blessings through Jesus Christ. So our source of blessings is by our Father which is in heaven, who has blessed us. And therefore he is worthy of our accolades, if you would, our adoration, our praises, our thankfulness. I trust that you often thank the Heavenly Father for his wonderful gift of salvation to you. I'm grateful that not only has my wife and I embraced Jesus Christ as Savior, but our three daughters have confessed him as Savior and are diligent in this morning. They're all three in Bible-believing churches and honoring the Lord. And of our 10 grandchildren, all have made professions of faith. Unfortunately, not all are walking with the Lord, but we have the privilege to pray for them. And our morning devotions together is really a matter of praying for our family and asking God to continue to give his blessing and his leading, that the truths of verse 3 might not just be to our daughters, and we got saved son-in-laws as well, good men who are very thoughtful to us and most of our grandchildren, but we pray they all would have this, and our great-grandchildren as well. And so the source is of God our Father. The scope is spiritual possessions, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. I think of 1 Peter chapter 1. And again, kind of the same thought there in verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively or living hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Now here it is, to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, and that fades not away, reserved in heaven for you. I'm so thankful for verse 5, because it doesn't say, Gary, you got to get it done. Amen? It says, God has already done it. Who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in his time. And then I'm sure you're familiar with Ephesians 2. I was blessed with this when I learned its truth. It just gives me goosebumps when I read it. It says there in verse 4 of Ephesians 2, but God, who is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us or made us alive together with Christ. By grace are you saved. Now here it is, verse 6. And has raised us up together. Note the terminology. He doesn't say and will or might. Has. And has raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That verse says to me, as I understand it in the Greek language, in God's sight, you and I are already with him. Amen. Comprehend that? I can't. Believe it? Absolutely. Try to explain it? I stumble all over the place. But to declare it? Absolutely. When I learned that, and I don't know how old I was, I thought, wow, what a heavenly Father. He doesn't make us wonder. We are not out in the wilderness like the children of Israel. We are secured in his presence already. And nothing can change that. I struggled, as I said, towards my later teen years and for a few years with security. I really think I struggled as I look back on that, because I figured I had to be more involved. I tried to read my Bible for the first while after I was saved, and it went okay. Prayed, it went okay, but I soon fell away. I fell away. There just was no encouragement, and there wasn't enough discipline in my own life to get it done. But when I came back to those things, what a joy. What a delight. What a peace. What a peace I found in me. And so we find that we are already blessed. We have the blessings of God in spiritual, in Christ Jesus Ephesians 1 says it there, with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. And then we go on to find here that they are ministered to us by the Holy Spirit. We realize that it's the Spirit of God working in our life. I think of that too. The triune God, the Trinity God, who invests their time, if you would, their energy, if you would, their interest, if you would, in me, an almighty God. a sinless Son of God, Jesus Christ, a Holy Spirit, finds you and I worthy enough to invest themselves personally in each of us, day in and day out, irregardless of how we might respond to them. It's amazing, wonderful. So we realize the Holy Spirit lives and works in us. He is making known the blessings of the Father, both now and that which is to come. And then, so the source is the Father, the scope is spiritual blessing, the sphere is spiritual in heavenly places in Christ. We can turn over to Colossians chapter 3 and read over there where it says, if ye then, and that word if, probably at least this is the King James, but the word if is better rendered since. Not all the time, but when a statement is a factual statement, when it's a statement not of a question or uncertainty, but of truth, then we can best understand if to mean since. So let's read it, that word. Since you be risen with Christ, already done. Yeah, but I'm not there. No, but it's done. Since you be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sits on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. For you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall you also appear with him in glory. And I think we've all at one time or another, and perhaps even more so, as time moves on, we relate to the statement of the Apostle Paul to the church at Philippi in Philippians chapter 3, verse 20, for our conversation or our conduct, here's another statement, already done. For our conversation, our conduct, our manner of life is in heaven. Yeah, but I'm not there, but I am there. I'm just finishing life out down here. From whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. So our true citizenship is in heaven. Our name we know is already written there. I only hesitate because I know it's true in my life. It's how I believe it. You may or may not agree. When I knelt beside my bed and asked Christ to come in my life, I may have already been saved. Wait a minute now, what do you mean? Because back in the basement of First Baptist Church in Milltown, when I knew I needed Jesus Christ as my Savior, God may have already seen the decision made. Now, I would have been amiss if I had not ask Jesus Christ into my life. I believe that's so essential. I believe that's so important. But I believe from the Father's perspective, when he knows the heart has decided on him, I cannot but think that decision has been made in the courts of heaven, and the name has been written in the Lamb of the Book of Life. But it's important that you and I still have that moment, whether in our home, at church, kids' club, camp, wherever it may be, that we can say this is when I asked Christ into my life. This is who I was with, and this is the events of it. And so here again, it talks about that wonderful truth. So our true citizenship, again, is in heaven. Our name written in the Lamb's Book of Life. We are the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. Although we operate in two spheres, the present and the eternal, the visible and the invisible, the physical and the spiritual, if we would. I stand here, but yet I'm seated in the heavenlies. I endure the life here, but the glorified life is already set in place. So no matter where we may be in this universe, we are already in the heavenlies through Christ Jesus. What a wonderful gift that is. And so may I just ask you this morning as we close here, with all that the Father has done, what's the return? What's the return? Maybe some of you have investments. Sometimes when the market doesn't do well, you say, that's not good. What does the Heavenly Father say about Gary? I invested my son in you. Amen. I have to ask myself the question, Father, what kind of return are you getting? Is it a negative? Is the market of Gary's life going down? Or is it an investment of Jesus Christ that the Father can say, that wasn't too bad. That wasn't too bad. Perfect? Never. Never. But I trust, nonetheless, honoring, glorifying, exalting, and blessing my Father, which is in heaven, through Jesus Christ, his Son. I trust that the Father's investment in you is a worthy investment.
Let's close our time this morning in a word of prayer, and we will have our benediction hymn, and we'll end our time together. Let's pray. Father, you are the glorious God, having provided the work for our salvation. And each one of us who sits before you, who is a true Christian, sits here today. At one point in their life, they did embrace the message of the gospel to their salvation. And the promise is eternal life. And yet I don't know their hearts. There are many who are here and they're serving. Maybe some have had positive experiences with you and have thought themselves good toward you, but they do not know Christ. Father, if today would be the day for their redemption, your name would be exalted by yet another coming to Christ. Work in each heart, Father, we pray, as you are gracious to us. And as we close our time, direct us, protect us, and guide us. May your name be lifted high in Christ's name. Amen.